Good morning, everybody. My thanks to Claire and Jonathan for inviting me, but also for just leading us so well together. It makes such a big difference when we're able to meet God through our singing together as well as through his words. So I appreciate that. No big prizes for guessing what we're talking about this morning. These are actual skeleton bones on the front. I thought I'd just create a bit of atmosphere. For those of you that are trying to join them up together, apparently, according to my medic friend who lent them to me, they are potentially more than one skeleton. So you might have a problem joining them all up together. Just a couple of things before I get cracking. So the other day I gave you a personal retreat sheet takeaway. So I've done one for this morning as well. So I'll put those at the back, and if you want to take them away, you can think a bit more deeply in your own time about how you might respond to the things that God has been saying. The other one is an advert. I'm on the Spring Harvest planning group. So it used to be called the leadership team, but it's been demoted to planning group. You may or may not know that Spring Harvest is not just at Minehead and Skegness this Easter, but also in Harrogate, which is very exciting because it means you don't have to negotiate the whole Butlins thing. You can just have the great Spring Harvest and Harrogate. I mean, you know, what could be better, really, isn't it? So I'm telling you this because the early bird thing stops on the 31st of October. So there will be children's work, there will be youth provision. Darren, I'm trying to persuade Matt to take a group, so if you could do that as well, that would be great. There he is. It would be lovely to see you there because I will be there. And it's a new venture, and I always think that being on the front end of something new is really exciting. So this is your opportunity to come to the lovely Harrogate and have Spring Harvest. So there we go, that's advert over, but I felt like I needed to do that. So I think that your church is broadly not dissimilar to mine. Why is that not working this morning? Okay. Know why that's not working? Excuse me, let me try again. We'll just go for that for a minute. Yeah, I might do as the answer. A bit like this, drowning in ideas, drowning in activities. In my church, I am massively privileged to have loads of people who have ideas. I do sometimes want to shut them all in a box because I kind of have enough of my own to deal with and just the day-to-day life. But it is a really great thing that we have ideas, that we feel motivated to see things be different and change and be new and start things and make stuff happen for different demographics in our church and in our community. All that is great, isn't it? All those kind of activities and ideas. But I feel for us, and I feel potentially for you, this is not necessarily a word from God, but it's just a reality, that we need always to be alert to what might be missing. To what might be missing. To be on prayerful watch, if you like, to where it has become our church and not his church any longer. And it's so easy to get like that. We just plan and we get our head down and we think, you know, I'm saying to Jonathan, I've got a deacon's meeting tomorrow night. I've forgotten to send any emails to any deacons. So, you know, all these things are in my head. And we need to be alert to the thing that is missing. So I want to show you something. It's a film. And I just felt like it said some of the things that I might want to say, but better than me. You have to read, so you can't close your eyes, I'm afraid. Oh, why has that done that? Oh, you'd have thought I'd have got good at this by now, wouldn't you? Oh, here we go. See it? Right. Okay. Here we go. So be alert to what you think might be missing. So Sorry, you needed a few words of knowledge there to work out what was there. When I watched that, for all those quotes, the ones where you had to make up the words, I feel excited. I feel like I want to say, yes, God. Yes, for the Spirit of God breaking out in the lowest places. And that passage, John, that you were sharing yesterday from Ezekiel 47 is the water from the temple goes to the lowest places, in the margins, in the dark, the dross places. That's where the Spirit of God is, where he breaks out. And most of those quotes are from a really long time ago. And those revivals occurred. And we need that, don't we? We need to have a place where people are walking along the street, eating their lunch in the cafe. They come close to the church and they encounter the Holy Spirit of God and he touches and transforms them. That's what revival is. It's not singing more worship songs, much as I love those. It's actually when God's Spirit convicts at a deep level and people come to Christ. And so the challenge is for us not to miss that in all our organisation and our competency, of which there is much in this room. We need to make sure that the Holy Spirit of God, it's his activity, his planning, his intelligence. He is in it, behind it, the source of it, the power, and not just us. I told you yesterday that we are at a similar place, really, and we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. And it always strikes me when someone comes up and says, I want to share a picture with you that God's given me, and they are the least person that ever does that. They almost seem shocked that this has occurred to them at all, and they have completely zero confidence that it might be from God at all. And the picture, and I want to share it with you, I haven't even shared it with my own church yet, is of a boat. And the boat has been put together very, very carefully. It's a wooden boat, so all the planks, all the pegs to hold it together, it's been created, the masts are there, the sails are there, the decks, everything about it is utterly perfect. And this was the picture that they saw. And then the words that they heard along with that was, it only works when you put it in the water. No, it can be as perfect as you like, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, the water, back to your water, the water of the Holy Spirit, it's just a beautiful boat. It's not functioning as it was intended to do. So I need to share that with my church, but I share it with you because I think that we're in a similar place. So the prophets, we've talked a bit about exile. The prophets in exile, people like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they came and they spoke prophetic words of renewal to the people, words of new life, words of restoration, words of hope, based on the emergence of and the experience of the Spirit of God working amongst them. And it says the Spirit of God, but also words like the wind and the water and the oil and the life are all images for the Spirit of God breaking out at that time. And I want us to focus, as I said, no surprise, on a passage in Ezekiel chapter 37. So perhaps you turn to it with me, please. And from verse 1, it says this, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You may sing in the background if you wish. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open up your graves, bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So the background to this vision is that Ezekiel speaks as God speaks to him. And in a number of different places at the front end of Ezekiel, it says that the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon him. It's a really powerful thread that runs through the book of Ezekiel. A number of years ago, I went to this place. It's Masada in Israel. And as I climbed up to the top there and we looked out over the plain, and as I was doing that, I noticed there was a little plaque, because there's always a plaque, isn't there? And it said that this was, they reckon, the place where Ezekiel received this vision from God about the dry bones. It was a place of battle. It was the place when Judas Maccabees fought the Romans and defeated them. It was the same valley where Zedekiah's sons were put to death. It was the same battlefield where Josiah, King Josiah, the good king, lost to Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. And I imagined that Ezekiel was standing in this very valley, on this vast plain, and it's huge. He was standing there, surrounded by the bones of his countrymen. Because I want you to put your imagination in play just for a moment here. So I've got a few bones here. But he was surrounded in this valley by the bones of those who died in battle, both their enemies and his own countrymen. It says in this chapter, Israel is dead. And that's what it feels like. Israel is dead. There's just dry bones. Imagine being surrounded by even people that you might have known. Dead. And God takes Ezekiel there, down into the valley. And the key thing here is that he takes him into the midst of it all. And I think that's such an important lesson for us, not from afar, but in the midst of the dead places, in the midst of the valley of dry bones, where when you look around you think there is no hope at all. That's where God takes Ezekiel. And God wants us to be in the midst of death, whatever that looks like in your context, in the midst of the dry and barren places, there in the midst of it, in order to see him work. Now that, of course, means that we have to leave our kind of cozy comforts, doesn't it? To be in the valley of the dry bones, to be in the midst of those barren places. And God asks Ezekiel a very, very simple question. Can these bones live? Now, I don't know what kind of questions God asks you, but this isn't one of his easier ones, is it? Can these bones live? And if you read it in the Hebrew, the way that the sentence is phrased means that the only possible answer is no. Is no. Can these bones live? No. Can those bones live? Okay, seem slightly uncertain about that. I mean, yeah, really, really hoping that they don't. Can these bones live? No, they can't. But it's not the answer that Ezekiel gives. You could argue that he's hedging his bets. I think it's a very wise and shrewd answer. Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. So if God asks you a challenging question, maybe that's a phrase to keep in the back of your mind. You see, Ezekiel has seen some strange and wonderful things, hasn't he? I read through Ezekiel for my personal Bible reading a couple of years ago. I'm not sure I understood all of it at all, in fact. But there's some strange and wonderful things. There's windstorms, there's clouds with flashing lightning surrounded by brilliant light. There's the four living creatures. There's a man like fire and glowing metal. There's the one, the same, what is it, the likeness of the glory of the... He can't even describe him. It's so amazing. God has told Ezekiel to do some very odd things. To lie on one side for 3.5 years and then lie on the other side. To build a model and then smash it. I mean, so when God says, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, well, you never know. Anything is possible with you, God. Anything is. And sometimes that's God's question of faith to us, isn't it? When we look at something, can these bones live? And everything within us says no. But the answer of faith, even out of a mixture of fear and possibly some experience, is anything's possible for you, God. Anything is. And the thing about our God is that where we see barrenness, he sees opportunity, doesn't he? I mean, it's the story of Scripture, and I know that this doesn't work out sort of 2 + 2 = 4 for every person. So I understand that that is the case. But God sees opportunity for Sarah at age 90 or whatever she was. Who wants a baby at 90, hey? Rachel, Hannah, Ruth. Have you noticed in the story of Ruth that it appears that she's been married to Boaz for 10 years? They have no children. See, God sees opportunity. Elijah brings back to life the widow's son. Elisha is empowered by God to raise the Shunammite's son. Hannah says in the temple, the Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. Death is not a problem to God. And ultimately, of course, Jesus. Jesus raised from the dead. And if the resurrection is not true, then frankly, go and spend a weekend doing something else. Death is never a problem to God. The things that we look at as dried up and dead and hopeless and barren, they are not a problem to God. The challenge here, however, is not just what God does, but what he expects Ezekiel to do. Now, when God just does it, that's a whole lot easier, isn't it? But when we are expected to cooperate with him, well, then that's a bit more challenging. But amazing things happen when we cooperate with God's purpose and his plans, when we operate in his power and his strength. Amazing things occur. God and us together is a really great partnership. How much are we prepared to cooperate with him? I mean, I should ask myself that, really. How much am I prepared to cooperate with him? Am I prepared to go beyond where my faith is comfortable? I would say that leading my church into a £1 million building project is pretty far beyond where my faith is comfortable. Am I prepared to do that on a personal level? With my children? In my marriage? Are we able to do that in our workplace? In the normal, everyday stuff of life? Are we prepared to go beyond our faith? See, we might be scared, but we used to have a guy in our church, and I can't say it like he used to, but his stock phrase was this, do it afraid. Do it afraid. You know, we're not going to stop being fearful. We're not going to stop looking at stuff and feeling intimidated by it. But will our faith stretch beyond that, like Ezekiel's challenge? God says to Ezekiel, and I'm not sure how he must have felt at this point, God says to Ezekiel, you speak to the bones. All right, great, thanks for that. How about you start and I'll follow afterwards when it looks like things are improving? You speak to the bones. You speak to the wind, to the breath of God. How foolish. I mean, imagine for a moment, and I'm thinking that Ezekiel was on his own. Frankly, if it had been me, I would have wanted to be on my own at this point, going, okay, I'm just working up to it, okay, I'm just working up to it, right? rib joined to the sternum. Okay, nothing's happened. I look a bit stupid, don't I? You know, how difficult is it for Ezekiel to speak to the bones, to cooperate with God, to have the confidence that the power of God's word and God has said speak can put these bones back together, can bring them to life. But this is the same word of God that spoke life, that created our universe, that sustains things. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be sea. Let things divide up. Let there be creatures. Let there be birds. Let us make man in our image. This same word of God is still powerful. By Ezekiel's time, it's still powerful for our time too. This is the God who creates and sustains. This is the God who formed out of dust the original people and who breathed his life into them. And here's Ezekiel, and he speaks to the bones. Now, frankly, if this had been me and the foot bone had joined to the ankle bone, I'd have probably freaked out and run away. I mean, like, all these bones, all these people. Imagine these feet running around trying to find the right leg bone to join up to, because they've got a bit scattered in the battle. And Ezekiel speaks to the bones. And the disjointed bones gather and they start to join together. And there they are, standing in front of him, skeletons. Now, if I could get those bones to turn into a skeleton, I would feel super proud of myself. But that was not God's purpose. And I think there's a lesson for us there, that sometimes we wander along so far in the purpose of God, being faith-filled, going forward in the things that he's calling us to, and then we go, we've done really well. We've done really well. Look at our story. We made a skeleton out of dead bones. God says to Ezekiel, they can't breathe. There's no life in them. And that same word that we know for Holy Spirit, the Hebrew word ruach, which also means breath, is used in verse 1 and 5 and 6 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 14. So it's quite important that the breath of God comes into these bodies, these bones. And it's a matter of continuing faith for him, isn't it? A matter of continuing faith. The skeletons are formed, and then the muscles come on, and the flesh comes on, and there they are, standing there like an army of beings, but with no breath. And that so challenges me about our activities and our structures and our organization, which we're so strong on, that we need to not be an amazing army, but without breath, without the Spirit of God empowering us. And Ezekiel has to speak and to keep on speaking, to keep on, to persist with the purpose of God. He has to depend on God's word and God's power and keep on depending on God's word and God's power. God speaks to him again, and he says this, you see bones, I see an army. I just think that's wonderful. We were talking about, can we see what God sees? And God speaks to Ezekiel, says, you see bones, I see an army. What does God see over limb? What does God see over limb? When you look at limb and you see 47% alcohol abuse, is that what you said, Jonathan? What does God see there? When you see disparate villages, what does God see? When you see a church on a hill, what does God see? When you look at your church, with all that you know about it, what does God see? And in the barren places where you see bones, what is God's word for you at this time moving forward? You see bones, I see an army. For Isaiah and Ezekiel, their lives, the environment they were in, was full of gloom and a state of despair. Well, I think we can probably identify a little bit with some of that. But God saw hope. They'd watched death and the destruction of the land, the people, the city, the temple, but God kept on encouraging them that this was not the end. They'd experienced the smoke coming from the burning temple, from the palace. The walls were in ruins. There were corpses littered across the countryside. But God says new life will come. 50 years later, 538 BC, the first group of exiles returned from Babylon to Judah. In 458 and 444 BC, the second and third group of exiles led by Ezra and Nehemiah returned to Judah. And they rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the walls. They restored the identity of the people and they became prosperous. Because God always does what he says that he will do. We are here not as individuals, but as an army. I mean, you might not feel much like an army this morning. We are not individuals, we are an army. We are the people of God, everyone together, joined up, made, created by the Word of God, empowered by His Holy Spirit to demonstrate the reality and the presence and the power of God. And that is what it's about. It is not just about organizing church. It is about the kingdom of God and demonstrating the power and the presence and the reality of God wherever we find ourselves, individually or together, for his glory. So the challenge I issue to you is only the same that I issue to myself and my own church, is that we don't get so wrapped up with our plans and our visions, wonderful as they are, and I mean that, but that we make sure that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God in all that we do, so that we see dry bones live. So that we see dry bones live. I'm not quite sure what, I'm done by the way, what the rest of the session is going to be. You've got these leaflets, but I purchased these to help you. I'm not entirely sure that they will, because what I got was not quite what I thought I'd purchased. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel that you need in your heart to say yes to God for the ongoing empowering of His Holy Spirit, to know much more of that in your life, call it what you want, but you need to know that. Or you are in a particular situation where it's barren and dead and you really need to see God, His vision for that and for what he's going to do. I would like you to take one of these because it'll make you laugh and that's always a good thing. So we have here multicoloured stretchy skeletons. Because as I said, God doesn't work in sort of grey, he works in technicolour. So I thought these were white, but they're not. So you can choose a coloured skeleton and it's really small and it's kind of squidgy and tactile. And I want you to take this. And I want you to use it as a reminder that God is speaking to you, that God is at work in you, that God is at work in some situation which feels a bit dead, but he is speaking life into that and you are cooperating with him in that experience of speaking life into that situation. So is that all right? So, Jonathan, what colour skeleton would you like for church?
Blue.
Oh, it's not very floaty, the skeleton. So I don't know how many there are. There's not kind of loads. So I'm sorry if you need one. But and don't not come. I know what people are like. There really aren't loads. The person who most needs to come forward and get one thinks, no, it's all right. I'll let somebody else get it. All right, if you're thinking that, get your body to the front and get a skeleton. Right.
Thanks, Lisa. I think it'd be good just to pray for a minute. We're then going to sing, going to just worship God through song just for a few moments before the young people come back in. Let's just spend a moment in quiet. Let's pray. I don't know whether there are those barren places in your life at the moment, where there are those places that actually just need a touch from the Holy Spirit and need God's Spirit to renew and refresh. Perhaps just in the silence, you want to name that thing or those things before God. Lord, for whatever it is on our hearts this morning, whatever it is that we've named before you, would you breathe your Holy Spirit afresh in us? Your word tells us to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Lord, we come before you this morning, and I think if we're all honest, so often we just do life off our own back. We just do it in our own strength. We're not as dependent on you as we need to be. Lord, would you break us? Holy Spirit, would you inhabit the life of our church again? But Lord, it's for your kingdom. It's not just for us. It's not about us having a great time. It's about seeing the dry bones being spoken to and living. It's about the communities around Lim, about people who at the moment are lost, finding you as their Lord and Saviour. So Lord, we ask to receive this morning, but we ask in order that we can give.